Hi, this is Gary Washburn, pastor of Grace Tabernacle. Thank you for tuning to our podcast today. Our hope is that this message inspires you and builds your faith. For more information about Grace Tabernacle and our ministries, please go to gracetab.org and like us on Facebook. Now, may the message feed your soul.
All right. Well, I want to share with you today a message that I know came from directly from the Lord, first to me and now through me to you. So let me ask you a question. Are you really ready to hear God? About 90% of you said yes. And will you do what He tells you to do? About 60% of you said yes. Well, I'm going to deliver the message because it's what He wants me to do. The title of the message is this: Will You Let the Father Lead You? It's a question. It's a question to you. Will you, key word, let the Father lead you? It's so wonderful today that my daughter is here today, my firstborn child, and when I, Well, thank you very much. And I, as a father, what a great experience it was to have a child that you held in your hands you knew was absolutely dependent upon you, dependent upon you to bathe them, to feed them, protect them, provide for them, take care of them. And I learned a lot by being a father, and I have a son as well, and I also have a boy and a girl, and learned a lot about being a father. And I wasn't a perfect father in any way, but I learned a lot. You don't go to father school to learn how to be a father. It's just like, there it is. Now, you know, you learn as you go. And I noticed, if you can put this diagram up, when Sarah was just a baby, it was like I had to be there all the time. If you can put that next diagram up for me, please, these little parentheses things. At the beginning of her life, I had to be there every moment of every day. Pam and I, we had to be there to care for her. She was needy. She needed everything. But now, as years have gone by, and now she's married, she has a husband who cares for her and takes care of her and has her own kids, there's my part of being a father is less and less involved. You know, my role has changed. I'm not involved. I don't have to, you know, brush your teeth, Sarah, you know, comb your hair. You'll be back by 10 o'clock. You know, I don't have to do that anymore. I mean, my involvement in her life is less and less, and that's what that diagram is to show you. But when God is your father, it works just the opposite. It may be at the very beginning of your life, you know about God, or maybe you don't know hardly anything about God, and there's little involvement, it seems like, God involved in your life. It's not that He doesn't want to be involved, it's just that we don't go to Him. You know, there's less and less of God involvement until you get closer to Him. And then when you get closer to God, and the more you mature spiritually, then you start to see, man, He's involved in every day of my life. And so the next diagram is to show you it's just the opposite spiritually. Did you bring that up? I didn't see it. Okay, so it's now the spiritual side is that now God's more involved now in every detail of my life. So it's a total opposite as it was in the natural realm. Now, I want to present some scriptures to you, and I want you to hear them. The first scripture is in Revelation 3:20. It says, Jesus is speaking to the church, the people who say they know God. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man what? If any man what? Everybody. If any man. Okay. I need you to get this, so I'm going to need you to be involved. You got to hear His voice. So first of all, God is implying that the church, the born-again people, the people who say they know God, they can hear God. Yes. If, the big if, goes back to the first question, will you let God lead you? I'm going to present something today that's really opened my eyes in the last few weeks. You won't be able to hear God if He knows you won't let Him lead you. And some of you are having a hard time saying, I can't hear God. I don't hear. Well, let me tell you, it may be this reason. So it's very important that you pay close attention. Jesus said this in John 10. He said, my sheep, what? So if you're a sheep to Jesus, that is, He's your shepherd, you're His and He's your shepherd, then you hear His voice. You just may not hear it very clearly, or you may not hear it as frequently as you need to hear. But you hear if you're His sheep. In fact, you heard the day that you got born again. Something in your heart happened, something clicked, and it was God speaking to you. You didn't hear an audible voice, but you heard the voice of God somehow or another. It penetrated your heart, and you prayed and received Jesus as Lord and Savior. You heard. So you know how to hear because you're a sheep. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. So any man can hear God because you were lost when you heard Him. Any person can hear God. Can you put up that next slide, please? Anybody can hear God if he'll listen. That's the condition. If you will listen. Everyone can hear God, and the big question is if they will listen to God. And when man listens, God speaks. It's as simple as that. I'm telling you, I know this from experience, and you're going to know it today by experience if you want to. If you'll listen to God, whatever He has to say, God will speak to you. Amen. He's not a respecter of persons. Amen. Do you want to hear Him? There's a false understanding about the Christian life. Some people think the Christian life is some new standards and so forth that Jesus came and He brought to the world. And He brought these new standards and these new rules to live by. And that Christianity is nothing more than man trying to live up to the standards of Jesus. That is absolutely false. Yeah, that's right. Even the bracelet that was so popular years ago, what would Jesus do? You can't live up to those standards. Christianity is not a new set of rules that we try hard to live by. That's not Christianity. Christianity is receiving someone, something in us that empowers us to live a totally opposite life the way we were living. It's supernatural. Look what Jesus said. These words you're very familiar with. He said, I have come that you, put your finger on your chest. He's talking to me. Say that. He's talking to me. He is. I have come that you might have life and life abundant. That means the fullest. It means the highest form of life. It's the word Zoe. It's God's life. Jesus said, I've come that you can have the life of God in you. L-I-F-E, living in fullness every day, the fullness of God, the ultimate. God says, I've come that you might have life, the ultimate goal, God-directed living. I've come that you can have this. You can have it. You don't earn it. You don't try to do it. You can have this. So get your receivers up. So I'm receiving this today. This one is not going to slip by me. I'm going to get this one. Because Jesus said you can have it. So the question ought to be, how, preacher, do we get this abundant life that Jesus said we can have? I'm glad you asked the question. And the answer is very simple. The kingdom of God. Four words. The very first sermon that Jesus preached was about the kingdom of God. In fact, the only thing that Jesus ever preached about was the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. His first message, repent or change the way you're thinking, for the kingdom of God is at hand, or it's near. It's right here. It's right in front of you. What is the kingdom of God? Well, a kingdom has to have a king. A kingdom has to have a dominion, a place where he rules. The kingdom of God is invisible, but it's real. Can I get an amen? Amen. The kingdom of God enlarges. Jesus said the kingdom of God like a seed. And a seed doesn't remain a seed when it's planted in good soil. It expands. Amen. Not everything of the kingdom is here right now. We have little pockets of the kingdom, even in the church. Because we're told to pray, Jesus taught us to pray. He said, pray this way. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we don't have the full kingdom yet, but one day we will experience the fullness of the kingdom here on earth. Everybody will. But right now we don't have it all over the earth. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. There are people or subjects of the kingdom. There are principles that the kingdom runs by, operates by, or laws or principles. So the kingdom. That's how we begin to understand. The kingdom can only have one king. And it's not you or me. So, this life abundant that the Lord wants us to experience is an amazing life. It's the life of God where the kingdom of God rules. It can be within you. It can be outside of you. Whenever this kingdom is operating in your life, you are experiencing what's called a God-directed life, a Spirit-led life. That's what the kingdom is. When it's operating in you, you're experiencing the kingdom. Your life is guided by God. You're led by the Spirit of God. And whenever that happens, there are five symptoms that will show up in your life. First of all, you'll have peace. The peace of God will rule in your heart. Second of all, you'll have plenty. And like Renee said, you'll have everything you'll ever need to do what God wants you to do in this life. You may not have everything you want to do in this life, but you'll have everything you need for what God wants you to do in this life. The provision will show up. It may not show up to the last minute, but you'll have plenty. It's abundant. God is the provider. What God calls you to do, He will provide for you. It's wonderful. It's miraculous. It's amazing. You'll have peace. You'll have plenty. You'll have purpose. You'll know why I'm here. My life has purpose and value. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here on an assignment. You have purpose. Number four, you'll make progress. God knows that you ain't never going to be perfect. But He does expect progress. Every day we should be making progress in a God-directed living. And then last of all, you'll have power. The power of the Holy Spirit. The things that you will do, you'll know does not come from your ability, your talent, or your skill alone. But God has empowered you with amazing grace. And you'll be amazed more than anybody that you're doing what you're doing. Hallelujah. So these are the symptoms of a God-directed life. And may I say to you something, and I'm not trying to insult you, but would you put your finger on your chest again? and say these words: the biggest obstacle to the kingdom of God operating in my life is right here. And you can point to somebody else too, but don't do that right now. That's the truth. I'm the biggest obstacle to the kingdom of God. Me. If I just get out of the way, if I just trust God, if I let go of control. Woo! Right there, that was a big one. And trust God, I would see some amazing things. Now, I'm not going to keep you long today, but I want to take you to the book of Acts. And in your Bible, you may notice at the beginning of the book of Acts, the editors may have put a title in. Like in my Bible, it says, The Acts of the Apostles. Well, that's not inspired by God to be put there. The book of Acts is not just the Acts of the Apostles. Literally, it is story after story after story after story of the new covenant now that's operating within the body of Christ. And now it is the acts of people, common, ordinary people who are guided by God. Amen. That's all it is. Yep. And the book of Acts, many people have said, and I agree with this, is still being written by us. Amen. It's the acts of people who have learned to let God lead them and enjoy the adventure. So when we look at the book of Acts, let me give you just a smidgen of some examples. We go to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, we've got to remember what's happened now. Jesus has come. He's been crucified. He's been buried. He's been resurrected. And he has ascended in Acts chapter 1. Now the disciples have lost Judas because Judas went out and hung himself. And the apostles know that Jesus had 12 people as apostles. And for some reason or other, they understood that they needed to replace Judas. And so that's where we are in Acts chapter 1. Now remember, this is before Pentecost. This is Acts chapter 1. And so they had two men that they felt were qualified. They said, we've got to find somebody to take the place of Judas. And it's got to be somebody who was with us in the beginning, who saw Jesus at the beginning of his ministry, who saw his crucifixion, his resurrection, his ascension. It's got to be one of those. And they had two men picked out. Two men were qualified. Who's it going to be? We don't know. Who should it be? We don't know. They're both qualified. They're both good. But we know that the Lord has already picked somebody. We just don't know what the choice is. And so the scripture says they prayed. Prayer is talking to God, but it's also listening for his response. They prayed. You, Lord, know the hearts of all men. Show us which of these two you have chosen. Now, what are they doing? They're asking God for direction. They're asking God for guidance. Why? Because they know they can't trust their own decision. They know they don't know everything like God knows. You know the hearts of all men. So they're looking to God and believing that somehow God will lead them. Amazing. This is chapter 1, the book of Acts, which is the manual on how to operate a church. I don't see any congregational vote. All in favor of Matthias, raise your right hand. All opposed? I don't see that. What do? They got together and they asked God a question and they expected him somehow to answer them. Now, the rest of that story is they cast lots. Lots was something like throwing dice. They cast lots. That was an Old Testament way to figure out sometimes like, Lord, which way are we supposed to go? What are we supposed to do? And when they didn't know for sure, it wasn't clear, God had made that clear, they would cast lots, like drawing straws or throwing some dice or something like that. It was casting lots. They cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So they said, now, Lord, this is your choice. They trusted God, and they went with that. And Matthias replaced Judas. Now, let me say this to you. Don't cast lots.
Nope, don't cast lots.
That was an Old Testament way. Now, remember, this is Acts chapter 1 before Acts chapter 2. Pentecost hadn't happened yet. They're not filled with the Spirit yet. This is the last time in the Bible you ever see anybody casting lots to find out God's will. So there we see they knew that somehow God would lead them to make the right decision. Now look, just stay there in the book of Acts, but just look at this up on the screen in Romans 8, verse 16. Paul the apostle wrote to the church, he said, for as many as are what? Led by the Spirit. Say it out loud. Led by the Spirit.
Led by the Spirit of God.
These are the sons, or the mature sons. It's actually the right translation, the mature sons of God. So maturity in the Spirit is learning how to be led by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
God will lead you if you let Him. Now hang on, it's going to get really good. Buckle up. Here we go. Let's go back to Acts chapter 8. We're just showing you the accounts in the book of Acts at the beginning of the church, how God supernaturally led people, and He's still doing it today. In Acts chapter 8, verse 29, there was a man by the name of Philip, and he was an evangelist, and he would share the gospel wherever he went. One time, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him. How did the Spirit of God speak to him? Did he hear an audible voice? We don't know. Probably not. But he recognized the Spirit of God speaking to him. The Spirit said. Everybody say, the Spirit said. Okay, so the Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit. And he said to Philip, go join yourself to that chariot over here. And the chariot was moving. And stay with it. Now, he had a split-second decision to make. He could have said, now, wait a minute, I don't know if that's God or me or the devil. And the chariot would have been gone. God spoke to him in a split second, and without any hesitation, when God said, go join yourself to that chariot, stay with it, he ran right up alongside that chariot while it's going along. He obeyed the first thing the Spirit said without understanding why. That's very important.
Yes,
will you do what God tells you to do when it doesn't make sense to you?
Yeah.
Will you do what He tells you to do when it doesn't make any sense to you? So he joins himself to this chariot, and the rest of the story is incredible because the man just happened to be in the chariot, happened to be reading the book of Isaiah. And then the next thing came to Philip to say to him, do you understand what you're reading about? And the guy says, how can I unless somebody explains it to me? Boom, open door. And he jumped up in the chariot and he explained to him the scripture was about Jesus. The man gets saved and gets baptized a little further down the road. Supernatural. All because the Spirit said something and someone did it. Will you let God lead you? This is not just something that we read about in the Bible. This is something that happens today. Will you let God lead you? Acts chapter 10, another beautiful example. There was a man who was a Gentile by the name of Cornelius, and he lived across the sea a ways, and he was a man that was seeking God, but he didn't have understanding about the gospel. He didn't understand. He was trying to do good works to be saved, and he hadn't understood the fullness, hadn't heard the whole truth about the gospel. And so an angel actually in a vision comes to this man and tells this man something that's incredible. An angel appears to him in a vision and says to him, I want you to send some messengers to look for a man named Peter. And then the angel gave him specific directions. He's over by the city of Joppa, and he happens to be staying at a man's house who is known as Simon the Tanner, and his house is down by the sea. Do you hear specifics? Now, this man could have said, well, I think I'm going crazy. I ain't going to pay any attention to that. But he didn't. He had enough sense to do what God was revealing to him to do. So he sends some messengers, some soldiers, to Joppa. And they find a house on the sea of a man by the name of Simon the Tanner. And it just so happens that Peter happens to be visiting there. And Peter has already had his own encounter with the Lord, dealing with him about his own prejudice against Gentiles. So all this is working together. And Peter's up on the roof taking a nap. And all of a sudden, while he's just kind of relaxing there, the Spirit speaks to him and said, there's some men downstairs at the door looking for you. Go down there and listen to them and go with them and don't be afraid. Man, that must have been some bad pizza I just had. I don't know. And he goes downstairs, and there were some men there, and he said, we're looking for a man named Simon Peter. He said, well, that's me. He said, our leader, named Cornelius, has sent us for you and said that you're to come and you'll share with him what he needs to know. If Peter hadn't heard the voice of the Lord say to him, now go with him without any reservation. Go with these strangers. Go with these strangers and go with them without being afraid. He wouldn't have done that. He said, I ain't about to go with you. No, but he heard the Spirit of God. So the Spirit speaks. Everybody say, the Spirit speaks. The question is, are you listening? Another example, and I love this beautiful example for the church in Acts chapter 13. About five of them are mentioned there in the scripture in Acts chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. But in verse 2, it says that these fellows, they got together, their prophets and their teachers, they got together, and they were worshiping or ministering to the Lord. I don't know if you understand that, but when you worship God, you're ministering to Him. You're not here to get something for you at that moment. You're first giving to Him. You're ministering to Him. He likes that. So as they were ministering to the Lord and they fasted, they were seeking direction. The Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit speaks. He said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for this work I have for them to do. And that's all he said. The church got direction because the Holy Spirit spoke. The church got direction because the church listened. People get direction when they do what God tells them to do without understanding why. They listened. And, of course, they did this work, and you know the story. Paul and Barnabas Bennett went out and had a great missionary journey and started spreading the gospel all over the world. Let me give you just one more. In Acts chapter 13, in Acts chapter 13, verse 12, or Acts 16, I think it is, Acts 16. Paul and Silas now are on a missionary journey. Now, they know that God's commissioned them to go out into the world and start churches and spread the gospel and convert people and evangelize. So they go out and they do this. They're doing this everywhere they go, sharing the gospel wherever they go. But it says, when they came to this place called Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, another region, but the Spirit did not allow them. So here we see an example of the Holy Spirit stopping you from doing something that He doesn't want you to do. The Holy Spirit forbid them. Now, they were told to go out into all the world, and they're doing this. But at this particular point, for some reason, the Spirit of God said, now, don't go over there. So God will speak to you and stop you from going in certain places, maybe to protect you, if you listen. Hello. Anybody listening? Now, we don't know why God told them. That's none of our business, not in the Scripture. But they had enough sense to recognize the Spirit of God does not want us to go over here in this direction. This week, I was preparing a message that months ago I had planned out for about 6 months of what I believed, prayed, and sought God about what I'm supposed to preach on every Sunday. And I try to get at least a subject matter or Scripture or something on a piece of paper. And so I finished the Song of Solomon last week. And so I was going to start this new series on what I thought the particular subject was. And I'm working and laboring. And Wednesday, man, I labored all day long. And it was just frustrating. It was difficult. It just wasn't coming together. It was like, man, this is hard. This is not right. At the end of the day, I was exhausted, and it felt like I wasn't getting anything accomplished. And so I put my pen and paper down, and I just sat there in my chair, and I said, Lord, I don't know what's going on here, why this is such a hard labor, but what do you want me to share this Sunday? I thought you wanted me to share this, but is there something else? And it's just like that, the Spirit of the Lord said to my heart, my mind, he said, I want you to teach them what I've been teaching you. Okay. I threw up those 5-6 pages of paper that I had on legal pad, threw that all away. I said, let's start over. And you know, within 2 hours, boom, there it is. It's laid out. This is what I want you to do. God will help you get accomplished in a short amount of time what he wants you to do if you let him lead. I get so much more accomplished with grace and not being hard if I let him lead. And he began to lead me. So let's say, for example, if you're coming to God and you're praying, you're here at the altar or your home or something, and you're praying to God, let's say about healing. You need a healing in your body. So you're talking to God about healing. God, I want your healing. Show me how to receive your healing. I believe you for healing. Or just you're talking to God about healing. Okay. And then you don't hear anything. Or maybe you got marital problems and you're on your face before the Lord and you're talking to God about your marital problems and help me fix my marriage, God. I don't know what to do and this and that, you know, and you don't hear anything. It's time to stop. There was a man one time that was talking to God about one of these issues. And he said to the preacher, Preacher, I'm asking God questions, or I'm talking to God, and I'm not hearing anything. God just doesn't talk to me. So the preacher asked him a few questions, just to let him keep talking. The more the man talked, the name of his sister kept coming up. And so the preacher asked him, you know, I heard you talk about your sister like a couple times. What's going on between you and your sister? He said, oh, we don't get along. We don't talk. We got some problems. And, you know, I don't bother her. She doesn't bother me. And the preacher wisely picked up on, well, you're wanting to talk to God about healing, or you're wanting to talk to God about marriage, but he's wanting to talk to you about fixing your relationship to your sister. He's brought her name to your attention several times, and you haven't listened. And if you'll listen and do what God tells you to do, then he might help you with the things you're asking him to do. Are you understanding?
Yes.
See, God is speaking. Anybody can hear God. Anybody can hear God. If they'll listen. to what he wants to talk about. Now, I told some of you, and some of you here for the first time, so it bears repeating, April 14th was an incredible day in my life this year. I was out on my back porch and having my quiet time alone with God, and for some strange reason, it was clear the Spirit of God was asking me a question. Just came thoughts in my head. I wasn't thinking about this, but the thought came into my head, and I knew it was God. And he said to me, "Will you let me lead you?" And I thought, that's really strange. So, you know, you got to be careful when God asks you a question. So I got down on my knees and just talked to God. I said, "Lord, I believe you're asking me a question. Will I let you lead me? I thought I was letting you lead me, but if there's some area in my life I'm not letting you lead me, yes, I'll say yes to you right now. I say yes, Lord. I will let you lead me." As the moment I said that, a release happened. The moment I said, "Yes, Lord, I'll let you lead me," he said this to me: "You need a building permit for your fence." What? I was putting up a fence in the backyard, replacing a wood fence, but I was putting in some vinyl fence that we didn't have there on the front. And I was putting this fence up, and I knew that I was supposed to get a building permit, but I thought, I made excuses that I ain't getting no stinking building permit. That's too much government. I ain't going to go do that. None of my neighbors have, so why should I do it? So I'd already started putting up half the fence. Esteban was helping me. We were putting up, we got about half the fence done. And it was the next morning when God asked me, "Will you let me lead you?" And when I said yes, the first thing he said, "You need a building permit for that fence." Now, is God interested in something like that? Well, I wasn't sure, to be honest with you. At first, I kind of thought it might have been just the devil trying to, you know, distract me or whatever. And so I said to God, I said, "God, if this is you, you've got to confirm to me about getting a building permit." Because my mind may be going here and there. If this is you, I need you to confirm to me that's what you just said to me to do, and then I'll do it. So I stayed a few more minutes. Amen. Got done. Got my Bible folded up. Walked inside the back door of our house. Come inside. Pam's sitting right over there at the dinner table having her quiet time. Without saying good morning to me, without saying anything, she looked up at me and she said, "You know, we got to get a building permit for that fence out there." That's exactly how it happened. I'm telling you this for a reason. God wants you to hear him, but it may not be what you want to hear or expect to hear. So was God telling me that he wanted me to get a building permit? And so guess what I did? I went down to that morning, and I told him, I said, "Look, I started putting this fence up. I may be fine, whatever you got, but I already started it. And I know I was wrong, and I need to get a building permit." They didn't make a big deal of it, and they signed me up for getting a building permit. That was a very important step in letting God lead me. I guarantee you this would not be the sermon today you are hearing had I just ignored that and said, "That ain't from God." One of the keys you've got to understand if when you really know that you're letting God lead and he speaks to you is that he's probably going to say something to you that may be a little painful at first. "Will you let me lead you?" "Yes, Lord, I will. Whatever you tell me, I'll do." And then he tells you, "I want you to go apologize to so-and-so. I want you to go back and pay back the money you stole." Oh. "Well, God, they may put me in jail. I may lose my job." Yeah. Will you let God lead you? So I'm telling you, it may be painful. It may not be what you expect at first. And God's going to test you immediately. If you come to this altar today, and I hope every one of you will, and you'll just say to God, God, I want you to lead my life. That's good, but that's not good enough. Because he wants to lead your life. You've got to decide right here and now and today, will you let him lead you? And then will you do the first thing he tells you to do, no matter how humbling, no matter how painful? Y'all either real quiet or you're really squirming in your seat saying, man, I wish this message was over with. God is going to pin you down. God is going to pin you down on something that's important to him, but you never thought it was all that a big deal. I didn't think a building permit was a big deal. It's not about a building permit. It's about God doing things God's way. You're going to let him lead. And so God will pin you down. And one of the keys to letting God lead you is you got to not be defensive. Start making excuses from doing what first thing he tells you to do. Okay, I'm about done. Because now you got some time, you and God need to talk. Who here would like to hear God's voice today talking to them? Raise your hand. Okay. I'm not taking count. That's between you and God. Is God willing to speak to you? I heard about 5 people say, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Is he willing to lead you? That's what he's dreamed about. That's his dream, his goal for your life. And the question goes back to where we began. The very beginning, the title of the message. Will you let the Father lead you? I can't tell by looking at anybody who is and who isn't. I have no idea. That's none of my business. My business is let him lead me right now. So this is a now moment. Before you get out the doors and start talking to people and get distracted and get busy doing other things, you need to settle this question. It's a serious question. It's a vital question. I haven't let this happen perfect since April 14th, but I tell you, I've begun a new adventure. Whew! Some of it's very humbling, but necessary. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you, would you just come to this altar? You can stand, kneel, whatever. But get somewhere alone with God in this building, somewhere, maybe over by the wall. Maybe cup your hands against the wall where no one else can hear you. Get in a secret place and ask God to help you. Let him lead you. And you'll be tested immediately. I mean, within seconds. Maybe even before you're done asking that question. He'll already put the thought. It'll rush right into your mind and in your heart. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And whatever it is, you need to do it quickly. You need to do it immediately. If you need to get on the phone and make a long-distance phone call to somebody, you need to do it now. You need to rush and do it, because any type of delay, you're going to let the enemy put up reasons why you shouldn't do it. If you'll do it, if you'll just obey God, He will lead you, and you'll see miraculous things happen that will absolutely blow your mind. So, it's got to be a right now. It's a right now, wherever you are. The great thing about God is this. If you'll just be honest, totally honest with God, He'll help anybody with anything. I don't care if you're a drug addict. I don't care if you're a porn addict. I don't care what your problem or addiction or issue is. If you'll just be absolutely honest with God about it, He already knows it anyway, and come to Him and say, "You lead me in this, I'll do whatever you tell me to do." He'll help you. He'll set you free. Anybody. Doesn't matter what you've done, if you just be honest. Let's stand together. Some already are having a conversation with God. That's great. Come up here and have a conversation. See if He has anything He wants to say to you.
If you just say be yourself. Wrong, then I'll say
be real.
No.
Be
if
honest.
You say release, I'm letting go.
He will
if
lead
you. You're in it with me, I'll be there.
He may want to say something to you first that you have not been listening. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. You come to Him talking about healing your body, that's good. But say, now, what do you want me to do? What's your first order of business? Seek first the kingdom of God.